Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we got lots of time to answer your questions. Plus, we got lots of stuff to talk about. It's a beautiful weekend across America. I hope it's beautiful where you are, and we're going to help to beautify your weekend with some important information that hopefully will be germane to your health and well-being. 888-362-3684. That's our number. I'm sorry. 888-302-3684. And among the stories that we're going to touch upon today, I'm going to pose a question. You can think about it for the next few minutes, and we'll answer it momentarily. Your most dangerous home appliance, what is it? Are you thinking snowblower, chainsaw? Well, think again, because the most dangerous appliance in your home maybe something that you are working with many hours a week and is exposing you to life-threatening danger. 888-302-3684, that's our number. And we got a couple of calls, but before we get to our calls, you know, the human diet is something that we want to find out about. We want to find out whether we're well-suited to the current diet that we consume, and clearly there's a mismatch. There's a mismatch between our genes, what we evolved to consume, and what we are now consuming. We're consuming food that wasn't available when we evolved thousands and thousands of years ago. Refined grains, grains which were only recently domesticated, maybe 5 or 10,000 years ago. Dairy, a relatively new food in the human diet. All the synthetic junk that we're consuming, the food additives and artificial ingredients, and the sugar, above all the sugar, that is a major imposition on our genetic makeup. And even the oils that we consume, you like consuming safflower oil or something like that, consider healthy. But the way that we refine oil from seeds and grains, well, that's concentrating these oils way above the amounts that we consumed when we were evolving. And clearly, we consume foods that were much higher in fiber, very, very chewy foods. Now, many of our foods are processed and made easy to overeat. You know, fiber tends to produce satiety. And you can see that there are major differences between the primitive diet and what we consume now. But the argument rages in the nutrition community. What did man's ancestors eat? And it kind of depends on where you're coming from, because if you're coming from the vegan or vegetarian camp, you say you look back to our closest antecedent in the evolutionary tree, which is monkeys and apes, and they're primarily vegetarian. And you think, well, bananas and fruits and shoots and vegetables, those were the staples of our ancient predecessors. But if you're getting on the bandwagon with the paleo diet emphasizes lots of red meat and fat as being part of the ancient diet. So we ask the question, you know, what's the real deal? Where's the evidence? Where's the beef, in fact, when it comes to the argument about what our ancestors ate? And there's new information. And this is actually groundbreaking information, because it doesn't just go back a few thousand years ago. It goes back 50,000 years ago. And it's based on Neanderthals. Neanderthals 50,000 years ago, and what they consumed. And how do they discover what it was that somebody consumed 50,000 years ago? Well, you can look at primitive sites, and you can look at whether there are a lot of animal bones. People tend to have little garbage dumps near their settlements. And it's kind of like looking at a landfill in, you know, the 21st century. What did 21st century Americans consume? Well, check out the landfill, you see. Well, in a 50,000-year-old campsite, you can find animal bones. or you can find remnants of seeds and vegetation. Or you can look at tooth patterns. Tooth patterns will tell you a little bit about the wear and tear and what people consumed. But the ultimate evidence, and this is one of the reasons why I'm glad I didn't pursue my original field of study in college, anthropology, is you study poop. And fortunately, it's not fresh poop. It's fossilized poop, because if it's 50,000 years old, I mean, you kind of know what happens, you know, when your dog poops on your lawn. And if you're lazy, you don't pick it up. And a week later, it may be, you know, kind of fossilized. It's easier to pick up. It's not sticky, gooey. Imagine 50,000 years, you get fossilized poop. And this fossilized poop can be analyzed. And they look at relative levels of compounds in the poop. And this is what I would be doing instead of broadcasting to you today. I'd be analyzing poop if I'd stayed in anthropology. But instead, I get to talk to you this beautiful weekend. They analyze the concentration of different compounds in poop to determine whether the consumer was a vegetarian or a meat eater. And there's a ratio of what's called coprostanol to stigmostanol. That's one is the result of digesting animal protein or meat, and the other one, stigmostanol, is the result of digesting plants. And so what do they find in the Neanderthals' poop? Well, depending on who's reporting the story, here you see some journalistic bias creeping in. Headline, BBC News, oldest human feces show Neanderthals ate vegetables. And then you turn to another trusted source, which is Slate, and they say the real paleo diet was meat-based. Okay, and the answer is they're both right, because found at a dig in Spain, the ancient excrement showed chemical traces of both meat and plant digestion, and suggests that the ancient Neanderthals 50,000 years ago, yeah, they did eat animal protein, but they also ate lots of fruits, shoots, and berries. They had a relatively high composition of vegetables in their diet. And, you know, I think the argument's kind of moot, because anybody who is a proponent of the so-called paleo diet is not going to tell you not to eat vegetables. They tell you plenty of vegetables. Ask Lauren Cordain. He says, eat plenty of vegetables. Get plenty of fiber, fresh vegetables, leafy vegetables, greens, and natural fruits. Not highly domesticated fruits. Don't drink Florida orange juice, but, you know, eat plenty of fruits. And so, kind of depending on your perspective, you can use this these findings to buttress your argument. But here's a major point, is that 100,000 years ago, when humans first appeared on the scene, there were lots of what is called megafauna in the world. What is megafauna? Well, megafauna are giant mammals, things that are now extinct. And there's been a great debate about what made them go away. Some people say climate change, you know, like these woolly mammoths. Well, with all those, you know, hairy, you know, coats. Well, you don't need a hairy coat when there's global warming, right? So these animals went extinct, they say. But a new study suggests that, no, it wasn't climate change. Headline, climate change not to blame for the disappearance of large mammals. What was it? It was humans with their ever-increasing ingenuity, brain power, hunting skills, and tools that caused the mass extinction of large animals all over the world during the course of the last 100,000 years. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about giant mammoths and mastodons. They're descendants of the modern elephants, but they're considerably smaller. Giant bison that were 8 or 10 feet tall. Giant elk and deer that dwarf modern deer and elk by comparison. Giant sloths, animals that were 12, 13 feet tall, were wiped out. What are called uroxen, which are ancient cattle, which are giant animals with very long horns, very hard to domesticate, eventually made extinct or bred into what we now consider modern cattle, which are much smaller, more tractable, calmer. You wouldn't think so if you watched a Spanish bullfight. But Ur oxen were vicious animals, hard to tackle. It took teamwork, human ingenuity, and weaponry to wipe out these species. And so to say that humans were vegetarians or near vegetarians during the course of evolution, that would be completely inaccurate. Clearly, there was animal protein involved during the long course of human evolution. And one argument to be made is, well, the Neanderthals, didn't they go extinct? Well, new findings suggest that Neanderthals and Homo sapiens are human ancestors, our species, intermingled and mated. And so we, in the modern world, may have Neanderthal genes, just a few percent, but we carry the genes of these ancient species in our bodies, and our bodies are not ready for the modern diets that we subject them to. 888-302-3684 is our number. We got phone calls. We're going to take questions. Hopefully you'll hear some useful answers on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria, combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
At Nordic Naturals, we pioneer new ways to help people get premium omega-3 nutrition while maintaining the highest standards of safety, quality, and sustainability. Nordic Naturals sources its fish from some of the cleanest waters on Earth and selects only flourishing species that are naturally low in toxins and high in omega-3s. During production, every batch of fish oil used in our products is third-party tested to ensure that they meet international omega-3 industry standards for purity, using methods established by the World Health Organization. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals. Committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
That's a great podcast this week. We talked to the author of Radical Remission, Dr. Kelly Turner, and she talks about the 9 essential ingredients for recovery from cancer. Very, very interesting discussion because, well, diet and nutrition, that plays a role. Supplements play a role, clearly, in terms of success if you're challenged with a very difficult cancer prognosis. But lots of the intangibles had to do with relationships and attitude and spiritual pursuits. And so check out that podcast at drhoffman.com. It's fascinating. Radical Remission is the book. I recommend it very highly. Let's talk to Stephanie in Orlando, Florida. How you doing?
Hey, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had read something on your Facebook page that you had recommendations for treating depression and anxiety in a more holistic, natural way than pharmaceutically.
Yes.
And I've been battling depression and an anxiety disorder since I was probably 12, 10 years old, maybe. And would just love to know what alternatives there are to the pharmaceuticals and everything else that they've tried for me.
Sure. Well, you know, there's a couple of ways to approach this. One is a kind of a cookbook approach, which is in a way similar to the pharmaceutical approach. They have a bunch of drugs, and then they try them systematically. They say, well, let's try the SSRIs and the SNRIs, and let's try the benzodiazepines, and let's try the, you know, anti-seizure medications. They go through different iterations of the drugs, and it's hard sometimes to predict what you're going to respond to. Lately, I've been using a test in my practice called the GenoMine test, which is, we're not yet there in the era where we can take a blood test or take, in this case, a saliva test and determine what medication is going to work best for patients. But we're beginning to have the ability to genetically profile patients to decide, is this medication or is this nutrient or supplement going to be beneficial? And I don't want to oversell this because it's not like there's some magic test that's going to tell you what to take. But we're beginning to have an understanding of the genes that are involved in mood disorders. So there's genetic predispositions to depression and anxiety, and the answers are varied. So on the holistic side, you know, you could say, well, a lot of people respond to St. John's wort. That's a natural SSRI, and you can do that, take, you know, sort of a cookbook approach. You know, take 2-3 times daily and call me in the morning, and, you know, or call me in 3 weeks. And many patients respond to that. You can also take SAMe. Some patients really respond well to that. Others do not. And you can also, and generally this is very successful, take high doses of fish oil. Fish oil doesn't work right away. It's a subtle thing, and it may take effect after 6, 12, or 18 months of taking high-dose fish oil. I generally recommend that to virtually all my patients who suffer from anxiety and depression because it helps, but it's not obvious at first. When it comes to tailored interventions, you know, we look at patients individually, and most patients with anxiety suffer from blood sugar abnormalities. They have hypoglycemia, which tends to drive their anxiety. Other patients have low levels of magnesium. Magnesium has a very calmative effect. And we test for magnesium, and we do a trial of therapy with high-dose magnesium. It's sometimes hard to absorb magnesium. Sometimes we have to give magnesium injections. And many patients respond to higher doses of vitamin D, different strokes for different folks. The new think on depression and anxiety is that it may have something to do with an MTHFR gene. I won't call it a defect, but it's an anomaly of this particular gene, which can be measured in blood or measured via saliva test. This is a test that will check for whether you need higher doses of what are called methyl donors. And we're talking 5-methylfolate or folinic acid, not folic acid, because actually folic acid, ordinary folic acid, can make things worse. Higher doses of methylated B12, it's called methylcobalamin. Accompanying that, some more riboflavin or pyridoxal 5-phosphate. That's a form of B6 that's readily available to the body. Choline and inositol can make a difference. Actually, one of the papers that I've written on anxiety and depression features inositol in high doses. That can really work well for, I would say, a significant minority of patients with anxiety and depression. So these are some of the things I also recommend, you know. An essential element in working with anxiety and depression is cognitive behavioral therapy. Good therapy can sometimes make a difference because, it's mind over matter. You can actually change your neurotransmitters with the right kind of mental thought processes and better thinking habits. So these are some of the things that are helpful. Exercise, too, can make a difference. The right kind of exercise, not necessarily doing sprint races, which may increase your levels of catecholamines and adrenalize you, but exercise that's kind of centering and relaxing, like yoga, that could make a difference too. So I've written an article on the subject. You can check it out at Mind Body Green or check it out on my website, Natural Methods for Dealing with Anxiety and Depression. And that pretty much lays it out. Okay. When we return, we're going to talk about which appliance in your home may increase your risk of early death. Take a guess, and we'll be back in just a moment providing you with the answer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684 for phone calls, questions. Your most dangerous home appliance. Well, some of you may guess your snowblower, perhaps your chainsaw, heavy machinery like that can be hazardous. Some of you may have said the microwave. Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about microwave radiation, and yeah, I've been going back and forth on that. I think that it may be inappropriate to spend large amounts of time peering at your cooking food in the microwave oven at eye level because it does emit radio waves. But the food itself has not changed dramatically or rendered into a highly toxic substance. A lot of you may have guessed your computer or Wi-Fi. And yeah, there are hazards. There's electromagnetic radiation coming out of those. Or perhaps, it's kind of a trick question, what about your wine cooler or your... some people actually have dispensers which dispense beer from kegs in their homes. And a new study suggests that fully one-tenth of adult premature deaths can be attributed to alcohol intake, that is, excess alcohol intake. And so, yeah, you can make an argument for those devices. Maybe, you know, you could say your corkscrew. That could be the most hazardous home device that you can find in the usual household. But no, it turns out something else. According to the American Heart Association, this week they announced that watching too much TV may dramatically increase the risk of early death. 3 hours a day was linked to premature death from any cause. So they did a study. They looked at 13,000 young and healthy Spanish university graduates to determine the association between three types of sedentary behaviors and the risk of death: television viewing time, computer time, and driving time. And what they found is the risk of death was twofold higher for participants who reported watching 3 or more hours of TV a day compared to those watching 1 or less hours. And the suggestion is that watching TV is associated with sedentary behaviors, like sitting around eating chips and dips and snacks, maybe drinking too much. And that may be associated with all-cause mortality. So, you know, what are we to make of that? Because somebody, I posted this on Facebook, and somebody said, I spend a lot of time reading. Does that mean that, you know, since I'm sitting and reading, and it is a sedentary activity, that I am more likely to die? And the answer may lie in the nature of the human TV interaction, which is essentially very passive and doesn't engage the brain in the same way that reading does usually. And I have to say that, you know, there's programs that I watch that are very educational, very cerebral, very challenging, very much like reading a book. And then there are other programs that are just like junk food for your brain. And that this exposure may increase the risk of meeting your maker, ultimately. Certainly there are studies that suggest that too much TV watching associated with mental disease, associated with dementia, associated with childhood obesity, and so on. And therefore, TV is the great distractor that may distract us from other more brain-stimulating, heart-stimulating activities that can extend our longevity. All right, this item is sort of along the lines of, you know, why bother? You know, we get these calls, like the call earlier, what are natural treatments for anxiety and depression? And some of you maybe think, well, you know, why don't you just take a medication? What's the big deal? The fully one quarter of women in the United States are taking medications for anxiety or depression. That's a stark statistic. And here's an item from McMaster University in Canada. Antidepressant use during pregnancy may lead to childhood obesity and diabetes. Now, what are they talking about here? Because isn't it the person who's taking the antidepressants who's going to experience the side effects? Well, no. In this study, it turns out that antidepressants pass along adverse effects to the offspring. And this has been a big debate. It's, look, a lot of women during pregnancy, for one reason or another, they feel depressed. And why they're depressed, well, maybe they're depressed about the prospect of having another baby. It's challenging raising kids. Or maybe they're depressed because something biochemical happens in their bodies and it triggers depression. So depression during pregnancy, big deal, big problem. So why not just take some antidepressants? Maybe it's worse for the baby that the mother's depressed. So fix the depression with an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety med. And studies have really gone back and forth on this subject. Many studies saying, no big deal, no problem, kids are fine. Well, this study suggests that there may be some long-term consequences to the baby from maternal use of antidepressants. What they're saying is that antidepressant use during pregnancy may lead to childhood obesity and diabetes. And the this summary of the study doesn't show to what extent that is the case. I don't have the actual statistic here, but in the study, there was a significant increase in childhood susceptibility to obesity and type 2 diabetes in the offspring of mothers who took antidepressants called SSRIs. These are the most commonly used antidepressants, Zoloft, Paxil, Prozac, and so on. And they resulted in fat accumulation and inflammation in the liver of the adult offspring. So they followed these kids for a long period of time, from birth through early adolescence. And what they found was that they were long-term metabolic consequences if mom takes these medications. And, oh, by the way, you know, and I looked at, they showed related studies on the same page. They said, well, if you're interested in this study, you might be interested in these other studies. Another study suggests that antidepressant use during pregnancy may lead to increased risk of autism in kids. They said, no, only slightly increased risk, but there is an increased risk. Well, slightly increased risk of autism? That's not good. So quickly they add here in the summary, this study does not suggest women should avoid taking antidepressants during pregnancy, only that there may be risks associated with antidepressants that haven't been previously identified. Oh, well, that's reassuring. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It's like, oh, don't stop using your antidepressant. It's just that if you use your antidepressant, that might lead your child to have a higher risk of diabetes and obesity or autism. But otherwise, it's perfectly fine. So keep using your antidepressant during pregnancy. And that's one of the reasons why we keep talking about natural alternatives for anxiety and depression. There's no free ride when you're taking synthetic meds. I mean, look, there's a place for these powerful antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, certainly. But they're way overused. And too often we don't investigate underlying causes of depression, like thyroid problems, men sometimes low testosterone, and women hormonal changes, and so on and so forth. All right, when we return, more intelligent medicine, including your phone calls, 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California for maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic aged garlic extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, computers are amazing. The other day I was looking for a new cover for my barbecue. It's this unique shape and size, and I wanted to get the actual brand. So I went to the website of the manufacturer, and I checked it out. And then I started browsing on Facebook and checking my email. And what was incredible is that within 10 minutes, advertisements and solicitations began to appear to buy this particular barbecue. You know, it's just because it was somehow at some remote server somewhere in the cloud, they had put together that I had some passing interest in grill accessories. And so they posted it on my Facebook page and on my email page. It's a little scary. And this happens whenever, sometimes I'm looking up something about a foreign country, and then I get like a pitch from an airline, you know, or accommodations in that country. It's really crazy. So people are worried about NSA spying, but what we really have to worry about is data mining and an Orwellian future in which big data is watching you. And there's some medical implications of this. Here's an article from Bloomberg News. Your doctor knows you're killing yourself. The data brokers told her. You may get a call from your doctor if you've let your gym membership lapse, made a habit of picking up candy bars at the checkout counter, or begin shopping at plus-size stores. This is incredible. Some hospitals are starting to use consumer data, which they can buy from data aggregators, to identify which patients are most likely to get sick so that hospitals can conduct interventions to prevent them from going the wrong way. So, you know, whenever you like something or buy something, it goes into some big data repository that's about you. Your credit card transactions are completely monitored and logged so that they know where you shop, what food you buy, whether you smoke. And the largest hospital chain in the Carolinas is plugging data for 2 million people into algorithms designed to identify high-risk patients. Pennsylvania's biggest system is following suit. So pretty soon, we're going to have to be concerned that big data's expansion into medical care is going to color your relationship with your doctor and threaten your privacy, because your doctor may have access to all your purchasing information. And so you may get a call Or you may get, computer-generated warning, like, whoa, I see that you bought a pack of cigarettes, or whoa, those cupcakes that you bought the other day at 7-Eleven. I mean, come on, you're not following your diet. And, while I welcome efforts to exhort people to more healthy lifestyles, it's really kind of scary what they're going to be doing with this information through invasion of privacy. And this makes the fat letters that they're sending kids home with, we'll talk a little bit about those in our second hour, seem innocent by comparison. I think this stuff is really intrusive because all your information is there. The system may score your probability of having a heart attack by considering factors such as the type of foods you buy and whether or not you have a gym membership, whether you buy sneakers. Incredible. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. A couple of stories before we complete this hour of the program. Extra virgin olive oil could reduce the risk of atrial fibrillation. That's fascinating because we know that extra virgin olive oil is something that is good for the heart, but we thought it mostly had to do with circulation, that it helped to prevent atherosclerosis. And that's an important function of not just the monounsaturated fat, the MUFA in extra virgin olive oil. It's also a function of the polyphenolic compounds like 5-hydroxytyrosol that you find in the flavorful pigments that make olive oil that's not completely refined out of existence into an aromatic kind of blend that has nice little opacity, a little bit of a greenish color. So these polyphenols are helpful for the heart. In this study, they looked at patients for 5 years. They found that patients who took extra virgin olive oil had a lower incidence of atrial fibrillation. And the Mediterranean diet with extra virgin olive oil significantly reduced the risk for atrial fibrillation. So that's quite fascinating. All right, here's one about, once again, vitamin D. Headline, causal link between vitamin D deficiency and hypertension, suggested by researchers. New genetic research provides compelling evidence that low levels of vitamin D have a causal role in the development of high blood pressure. Not just, correlation is not causation. So because a person who's really on a crappy diet doesn't get out in the sun, they could have high blood pressure. Well, they could have high blood pressure for a lot of reasons besides low vitamin D. They're just plain unhealthy. But here, what they're saying is that there is a linkage. This research suggests that low levels of vitamin D have a causal role. Why? Because vitamin D has hormonal effects in the body. They found that for each 10% increase in 25-hydroxy vitamin D concentration, there was a drop in diastolic blood pressure. That's the second number, of about a quarter point, and systolic blood pressure about a third of a point. There was an 8.1% decrease in the odds of developing hypertension. So 10%, say, you go from 25 to 27.5. That's, small increment in your vitamin D concentration. That could decrease your risk of developing hypertension significantly by 8%. So they say it needs more study, but the suggestion is that vitamin D may be a potent weapon against high blood pressure, one of the most common problems that afflicts Americans. All right, thanks for joining us for this hour. We've got lots more in store for you coming up in the second hour of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.